Grace, mercy, and peace come to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to remember those words. Our sermon today comes from actually all three of the lessons that we just read, and it's also written by the late Pastor Charles Hendrickson of Greenwood, Indiana. It's called The Words of Life. To those sitting in prison, facing a death sentence, filled with fear of what awaits them, nothing is more welcome than someone coming with a message of pardon and release. Those words come as words of life to a world of fear and death. Words of life. That's what we hear in our readings today, in all three of them. The first reading from Acts, the epistle from Revelation, and the Holy Gospel from John. Words of life to people sitting in prison, overcoming their fear and giving them faith and the boldness and the final victory that they need. And the good news is these words of life come not only to the people in our readings, they come also to us, sitting here today. Today and for the next five Sundays, that is, for the rest of the Easter season, our readings will come from these three places: Acts, Revelation, and the Gospel of John. Throughout, we will hear the glorious and life-giving message of Christ's resurrection and what that means for us. It starts today, and the common thread running through these particular lessons today is that in each one of these words of life, come to those who are locked up, sitting in a prison. Now, in the reading from the Gospel, John, the Gospel of John, the people involved were not literally locked up in an actual prison. They might as well have been, for it's a prison of their own making. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, the disciples were hiding out, hiding behind locked doors, afraid of what might happen to them. Their master had just been crucified a few days earlier, and they were thinking something similar might happen to them. Jesus' enemies had been out for blood. They had gotten their way with him, had him put to death. Now, the fear was, would they come looking for his followers? Thus, the locked doors. But if a mighty stone in front of a tomb could not stop Jesus, neither could those locked doors. The resurrected and glorious Lord passes through and comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." These are words of life and peace and pardon to disciples who had deserted their master in his hour of need. The gracious Christ comes with full forgiveness. Peace be with you. Much more than an ordinary greeting, this is a holy absolution. And then the risen Lord shows them the cost at which that absolution came. He shows them his hands and his side. Hands still bearing the marks of the nails that held him on the cross. His side still bearing the marks of the piercing spear that made sure that he was dead. Notice that Christ, even in his resurrection, still bears the marks of his crucifixion. This is how he wants to be identified. This is how he wants to be known. Always as the one who was crucified for our transgressions, the Lamb who was slain, by whose blood we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Peace be with you. Spoken by the crucified and risen Savior, these are the words of life. Words of forgiveness to faithless disciples. Words of reassurance to fearful disciples. Christ meets their amazement by showing them that it is really He. They are not seeing an apparition. They're not hallucinating. This is truly the risen Lord standing there, risen with a body that they can see and touch and handle. Their fear gives way to gladness. Again, a second time, Jesus speaks His peace to them, this time empowering them for their mission as apostles, as His witnesses. He will be sending them out very soon so that they can speak His words of life and forgiveness to others. But one of the company was not there that day. His turn will have to wait a week later. Thomas, it is. He didn't believe the report that the Lord had risen. No, hearing the words was not enough for Thomas. He's got to see for himself. Well, now on this night, a week after Jesus had shown Himself to the disciples, the doors are still locked. I guess fear doesn't die that easily. But Jesus comes again on a Sunday, and He stands among them. By the way, Jesus has been doing the same thing every Sunday for over 2,000 years now, coming amongst us, speaking His words of life. But this time, Jesus comes for the special benefit of Thomas, so that he would not miss out, so that he would not be lost in unbelief, but instead believe and be saved. Jesus' words let Thomas know that he knows about the initial refusal to believe, and this causes Thomas to repent of his unbelief. Now he confesses his faith in who Jesus really is, my Lord and my God. That's good, Thomas, but the words, in the first place, should have been enough. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. And now we get to us. This is describing our situation, you and I. You and I were not there in that room, either on the first Easter Sunday or a week later. We have not seen with our own eyes the risen Christ. We have not touched His hands or His side. Yet still, Christ comes to us, and He speaks His words of life to us, and amazement of amazement, we believe. This is a miracle. This is a gift. And Jesus pronounces us blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Hey, that's you and me he's talking about. Did you know that Jesus actually mentions you in the Bible? He does. It's right there. So how does this happen? How come people here and all around the world, how come people for over 2,000 years now, how is it that we all believe in and take our stand on a man rising from the dead who we have never seen? Friends, this is the power of those words of life. These words work. They work faith in our hearts. They are living and powerful words, active and creative words. They create the faith in the Savior that they proclaim. This is why God has seen to it that these words of life are recorded for us in the Bible, so that we who have not seen Christ in person will still hear and believe and be saved. John the Apostle and Evangelist tells us that this is his purpose in writing them down. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The inscripturated gospel, which we read in the Bible, which we hear read from the lectern and preached from this pulpit, and the insacramented gospel, which make holy baptism and holy communion the means of grace that they are, the good news and peace and pardon in the life of Christ, this gospel word brings and bestows the gifts it speaks of, as well as giving us the ability to receive those gifts. This is saving faith, created by these words. These are written and read and preached and sacramented so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Words of life to people in prison. This is the theme running throughout our lessons today. Very briefly then to the other two, Acts and Revelation. In the reading from Acts, this time the apostles are literally locked up in an actual prison. But locked doors cannot stop God from getting his word to people. The apostles need to hear it themselves, and so do the people that they will reach upon their release. So God is going to give the apostles the boldness they need to preserve in the face of persecution. And he's doing it to get, and he's going to get them out of the prison cell so that they can go out and do the job that he has for them. During the night, an angel of the Lord opens the prison door and brings them out and says, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life," which they do with great boldness. God's words of life free his people. They free us from our fear of speaking out and confessing Christ. If God is for us, what can man do to us? Our life is secure in Christ. Threats and persecutions cannot shut us up. Oh, they can shut us in a prison, but they cannot shut us up. This is a word of encouragement to the church today, living as we do in a world of increasing hostility to the Christian faith. God's words of life free us from our fears and give us boldness and courage to live and speak as Christians. Finally, the reading from Revelation. The aged disciple John is not in a prison made of iron bars, but he's still in a prison of sorts. He's been exiled to the island of Patmos, a little piece of rock off the coast of Asia Minor. It was kind of their version of Alcatraz. And John is there, old and isolated and cut off from the church he loves. But now Christ comes, appearing to John on, guess what, a Sunday. By this time it was called the Lord's Day, since Christ rose on the first day of the week, and that is when the church gathered. The risen Lord comes to John on the Lord's Day, glorious and brilliant, and arrayed in dazzling splendor. John is fearful and falls down at the majesty and the might of the Messiah in his glory. But Jesus comes and lays his hands on John and says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Words of life, once again, words to free us from our fears and give us hope to carry on. Whatever our age or adversity, Jesus died. He died for your salvation, for your forgiveness. All of your sins have been paid for in full by the precious blood of Christ. There is no condemnation for you. God is pleased with you on account of his Son. And this Jesus is the living one. I died, he says, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Those doors that would want to lock you in forever, those prison doors of death and hell, by now we know that locked doors cannot keep Jesus out. Christ owns the death, owns the keys to death and Hades. He is their master. He is their Lord. Jesus gained title to those places when he overcame Satan by his death on the cross. The devil has been defeated. Death has been defeated. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The final victory has been won by our living Lord, and he gives you a share in that victory through those words of life. So you have nothing to fear. Death has been stripped of its power. Life, new life, and eternal salvation, that is what Christ is giving you now on this Lord's Day and throughout this Easter season and throughout eternity. These words of life will do their job. Fellow redeemed, fellow believers, you have life forever with Christ, your risen Savior.